This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Let's push and give birth to the things that God wants us to give birth to. The things that are going to glorify Him and that are going to actually make a difference in this world. Let me tell you something. I refuse to pass through here and be useless. Faith takes step one before it ever knows what step two is. If you're waiting to have a full blueprint for your life and know everything that's going to happen, then you're on the wrong plan, because that's not the way God works. He gives it to you one little step at a time. Maybe that's just like an amen from heaven. I don't know. You must take a chance on being wrong to find out if you're right. If you're not willing to be wrong, then you're never going to go forward with God, because you just got to step out in that blind faith, believing that God put something in your heart, and there's always that fear, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? But hopefully we establish that it's not the end of the world. Just because you make a wrong decision doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means that you're kind of working your way through trying to find out what God wants you to do. And I think God appreciates that kind of boldness. Anybody who thinks they can always do what they've always done is a fool. Because there's always things changing in our lives. Our goal should be to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. That should be every believer's number one goal, to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Amen. And the Spirit-led life is a very adventurous life. Now, God gives all of us gifts. Every one of us has some kind of gift, talent, that God has given us. We're not all like each other, and we have to be very, very careful that we don't let the little green monster of jealousy get in our way and start causing us to want what somebody else has. Because I can tell you, if you want what somebody else has long enough and strong enough, you're going to end up resenting them. And God wants us to love one another. Our body works together. My hand helps my foot get its shoes on. This hand helps me get this ring on. This hand helps me get that ring on. Just the way our body works together and is not jealous, one part's not jealous of the other. Some parts are more hidden than others. Some are more out in the open. Some are never seen by anybody but else. At least we hope the ones that shouldn't be seen are not seen. That's not always the case. Sometimes we find that we still have to tell Christians how to dress, which to me is amazing, but we do. No wonder Jesus calls us sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals that exists. Did you know that? And I don't think he meant as an insult. He just meant you need guidance and you need leadership. And that's why I think that it's so good when you have a pastor or a Bible teacher who takes the time to teach you the practical things that you need for your everyday life and doesn't just always teach and preach some kind of religious doctrine that sounds like they know a lot, but doesn't really help you in your everyday life. Amen? And so be very careful about wishing that you could do what somebody else does, because if you spend your time wishing you could do what somebody else does, you're going to miss what God wants you to do. And there's one little example that I've used that I'm not going to take too long to do, but I think it makes my point. You know, my fingers get to wear rings, and I'm particularly fond of this one because Somebody gave it to me. I gave away my wedding ring many, many years ago, something that I felt like God wanted me to do in faith, and it wasn't worth anything, but it was the only thing that I had at the time. And I set myself to believe God for a really nice diamond ring, which I certainly could not afford. And like most prayers, I had to wait a good long while, and a lady actually came to one of our conferences and had this ring in a box and gave it to Dave, and she said, "This is from a previous marriage that I had, and it's the only thing I have that belongs to me that my current husband has nothing to do with, and I want Joyce to have it." And it's a beautiful diamond ring, but to me, it's from God. And so I particularly... Now, you know, for a while when I was given this ring, I wouldn't wear it because I didn't want anybody to judge me. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to be bold enough to wear the gifts that God gives you. You know, because the truth is, somebody may judge me, but that's the problem with judgment. We judge people about stuff we don't know anything about at all. Yeah, she's probably just using all those offerings she gets to buy those fancy clothes and that diamond ring. Hey, don't ever be jealous of what somebody's got if you don't want to do what they did to get it. Amen? So I will admit that my eyes enjoy looking at that. Especially after I get my nails done and I just think it's pretty. Well, my hand gets to wear the ring. My hand can't see the ring, it gets to wear the ring. My eyes get to look at the ring, but it never gets to wear the ring. Now, what if my eye was jealous and said, "I'm tired of looking at your ring. And if God doesn't give me a ring, then I don't think God loves me as much as he loves the finger." Come on, now, this is just the way we are, you know. And so sometimes we wonder why God doesn't give us what we want and answer our prayers. Well, just see, because sometimes we're praying for stuff that doesn't even make any sense. We couldn't even handle it even if God gave it to us. You got to remember, when God gives somebody an ability, he also gives them the grace to use that ability. And so if God answered the eye's prayer and said, "Oh, well, I don't want you to feel bad, so I will give you a ring of your own." So there we have it. Okay, now, here, just hang on. I can't do this long. Here's the point. If my eye got what it wanted, then it can't do its job in the body. Come on. And so I end up being crippled by what I thought this thing was that I wanted and had to have and was jealous of, and felt like God didn't love me as much because I didn't have it. Trust God enough to believe that he gives you what you have the ability to handle, and that every part that God gives anybody is an important part, and it doesn't matter to God if you're on the platform or in the basement. All that matters to God is that you happily and joyfully do the part that he gives you to do to the very best of your ability, and your reward will be just as great as anybody else's. Amen? Matthew chapter 25. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." I'm starting in verse 14. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability." Do you see that? He gives us according to our ability. which he also gives us. So he gives us our ability, then he gives us gifts according to our ability. And you know why he gives us gifts according to our ability and not beyond our ability? Because he doesn't want us to be all stressed out. Come on. And there's so much stress in the world today. And a lot of it is the competition and the comparison and people trying to find out who they are, and they think their worth and value comes from what they do. And to be honest, who you are in Christ has nothing to do with what you do. Amen? You're just as much God's child if you're in the basement as you are God's child if you're on the platform. Doesn't make one bit of difference. God loves us all equally the same. So I love this. He gives them gifts according to their ability to handle them because he does not want us under stress and pressure all the time. Does anybody understand that the stress and the pressure that people live under today is not the will of God? And I can tell you that the world is not going to change, and if it does, it's only going to get worse. So if we want to have peace, we have to change. We have to stop playing the game. We have to stop playing the game that the world plays and understand where our real worth and value is. We have all these, you know, things on our phone now. You can get podcasts and all these different things. I forget what they're even all called. Oh, Instagram. That's a new one. Instagram. Well, maybe it's not that new, but it's new to me. And I mean, some of the stuff that you can get, my staff don't even let me have because they're afraid of what I would do with it. They're like, nope, you are not going to have the ability to post things. It's going to go through us because we don't know what you would put on there. But I have Instagram, and so I like to kind of see what our ministry's doing. Well, you know, they also have these, every once in a while, they have these lists of people. You might also like to follow these people. And so I found out that every one of those little buttons that you push, it tells you how many followers they have. I mean, we are just into numbers, aren't we? And you know, I know better than this, but a few days ago, I saw this guy that I like and listen to sometimes, and I thought, my gosh, that guy's got a lot of followers. Well, he's got a lot more followers than I do. So then all of a sudden, I find I've spent probably 10 minutes checking all these numbers on all these people to see how many followers they all have and wanting to see if they all had more followers than me. And I thought, Joyce, what do you think you're doing? And see, it's almost like these little demons out there trying to suck us in. Trying to, I mean, what is that anyway, a follower? I mean, does that mean that, are they even watching? Or did they just, you know, and then the likes. Man, if they not only follow, but like. I'll tell you what, there is no hope for us at all if we don't know who we are in Christ. Amen? You want to be my friend on Facebook? What in the world is a friend on Facebook? You don't know if they're your friend. Are they going to be there for you when you need them? We don't even know what a friend is anymore. Oh, they're my friend on Facebook. You need to go back and study what a friend is. A friend is somebody that's going to be there for you when you're sick and be there for you when you need to move and be there for you when you're having a bad day and be there for you when your heart is broken. So let's just stop all the comparing and the being jealous. And I mean, if you're caught up in that, I mean, I was so caught up in that at one time in my life. Instead of all that nonsense, let's push and give birth to the things that God wants us to give birth to. the things that are going to glorify him and that are going to actually make a difference in this world. Let me tell you something. I refuse to pass through here and be useless. And I refuse to pass through here and do nothing but be a taker and be selfish and self-centered and spend my whole life just trying to get blessed. Just let's forget about ourselves and be a blessing to somebody else every single day. Amen? So, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each according to his ability, then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once. I love that. Let's quit wasting time. You don't have to go home and pray anymore about whether or not you should do what's been in your heart for 5 years. Go home and at once. Get busy doing something worth doing. And he took them and he traded with them and he made 5 more. Also, he had 2, made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, this is just the guy we're after this weekend. What happens when you're afraid? You hide. What was he afraid of? He was afraid to take a risk. And that's what we're talking about a little bit today. Don't be afraid to take a risk. Don't be so afraid of being wrong that you'll never take a step to find out if you were right. If there's something that you want from God, ask him. It's amazing what happens if you'll just pray bold prayers that are so big that even you can't hardly believe you've got the nerve to pray it. Amen? He went and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Do you see that? Settled accounts with them. Now, when Jesus comes back, we're all going to give an account, the Bible says. Now, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ and you've received him as your Lord and Savior, you are not going to be judged concerning salvation. There are scriptures I don't have time to go to in 1 Corinthians that tell us plainly that we will all pass through the eyes of fire. When I think about this day, I get excited and I have a reverential fear. And it says that whatever we've done, that we've done with true motives that are pure gold, we will be rewarded for. But the things that were made out of wood, hay, and stubble, in other words, the things that we did with wrong motives or to be seen or to be noticed or to be well thought of or to be popular or whatever, the Bible says those will all be burned up in the fire and we will lose the reward of any of those, although the person themselves will be saved as if by fire. So our salvation is not based on any of our good works. It's based on our faith in Jesus Christ. But make no mistake, the Bible is very clear that there will be rewards or the loss of rewards for the works that we do while we're here on this earth. Are you with me? But are you understanding me? Jesus is coming back. Now, you know, you're clapping when I say Jesus is coming back, but you better make sure that you're living in a way now that's going to cause you to clap when the day comes. But come on, let's get serious about this. Amen? And so do all the good works that you can possibly do, but do them for the right reason. You don't need to bother trying to do good works to get God to love you. He already does love you. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. This is the honest to God's truth. God will never, ever love you any more than he loves you right this moment, no matter what you do. Well, see, for some people, that's kind of a downer. Well, if he doesn't love me anymore, no matter what I do, then why do I want to bother trying to do the right thing? Because we do the right thing because we love him, not to get him to love us. Come on, did you hear that? I want to treat people right because I believe it blesses God when we treat people right. I want to do all I can for him because of all that he's done for me. It's the hardest thing to get through our heads that God loves us freely by his grace, by his mercy. We're saved by grace and mercy. But that still doesn't mean that we don't try to do all the good works that we can possibly do. We're not saved by them, but if we love him and appreciate what he's done for us, then we will do them. So let's get over the idea that everywhere we go, we're going to get our blessing. We need a whole complete turnaround in our mindset, and everywhere we go, we need to go to be a blessing. Are you hearing me? We need to go to be a blessing, not to get my blessing. And if you set your mind to be a blessing, then God will always make sure that you are blessed in return. Come on. That's the Christian way of thinking, by the way. Amen? And if we don't do this, then we're no different than the rest of the world. The master came back to settle accounts with them. And I'm not the least bit afraid of that. I look forward to the day that Jesus comes back. I don't believe I'm going to have anything to be ashamed of. And I don't want any of you to have anything to be ashamed of either. That's why it is urgent in my heart to do all I can to get people to be the best that they can now. Are you understanding me? I mean, every person in here can make a decision today to come up just a little bit higher. And it doesn't matter what you do out in public when you can be seen, as much as it matters what you do behind closed doors when nobody's looking, because that's the real you. Amen? And he who had received the 5 talents came forward and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 more. Now watch this. And his master said to him, well done. We all want to hear that, well done. Well, we've just found out how to hear it. We take the abilities that God has given us and we use them, we invest them so somebody else can be blessed. And then when he comes back to settle accounts, we'll hear, well done. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will now set you over much. I like much, don't you? I'm not a big fan of little, but I am a big fan of much. And so I like the well done part. I like the good and faithful servant part. I like the much part. But I'm going to tell you something here that I like better than all of it, and I think it's something we don't pay enough attention to. He says, you have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Now enter into the joy of your master. That's what we're after right there. Let me ask you a question. What does any of us really want other than to just be happy? I mean, isn't that really what you want? You just want to be happy. Doesn't really matter what you own, if you're not happy, nothing is worth anything. Come on, we just want to be happy. And he tells us here how to be happy. Take what you have and invest it so you can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. In order to give birth to your dream, your vision, and to see it brought all the way through to the finish, we have to learn something about faithfulness. And there are too many people that are addicted to excitement. And excitement doesn't have anything to do with faithfulness. Actually, faithfulness would be defined, and my way of defining it, as continuing to do what you know you're supposed to do when there's not one drop of excitement left. Come on now. So I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you understand this, and it doesn't come across wrong. I've wondered for 2 days about whether to say this to you or not, because I know not everybody understands, but if you're mature enough, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say. People have been asking me for weeks, well, are you excited about the women's conference? And actually, I wasn't. See? You say, well, that don't make me feel very good. Well, I've done a few thousand of these. I'm excited for you. I wasn't excited for me because I knew how hard I was going to work. And I know what I'm going to feel like tomorrow when the party's over. You should be here 2 hours from the time this is over and see what this place looks like. You should be here with all the people with sweat dripping off of their bodies, trying to clean the place up and reload the trucks and try to get airlines to go back home and miss planes and all that kind of stuff. In order for one person to be helped, somebody else always has to sacrifice. Are you out there today? So if you think that being in ministry is just all going to be excitement and fun, you are wrong. It'll be exciting. The first several women's conferences I had, I would get so excited that I would wear myself out with excitement. And then when the excitement was over, then I'd feel kind of down, you know? And I don't want to be looking for something to like, whoo, about. And then, because it's over. And then, whoo. Come on. See, the thing is I wasn't excited, but I was committed. I am committed to you, to every single person that God has assigned for me to teach. I can tell you right now, I am committed to you until the day I die. I can promise you that as long as I can talk, I will be on that television 5 days a week, every morning, every evening, teaching you the Word of God to the best of my ability. And as long as I can walk and talk and move, I will do these conferences because I care about you. And just because I'm not excited doesn't mean a thing. I'm satisfied. I'm content. Get over the need to be looking for something all the time that excites you and just get committed to doing what you know you're supposed to do, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, whether it's convenient or it's inconvenient. Is anybody there? Anything new is exciting, but when it's not new anymore, it's not going to be exciting. You're excited when you first meet the man you're going to marry. I'm committed to my husband, but my knees don't get weak when he comes in the house. Come on. I mean, you can't stay married for 52 years on excitement. Did you hear me? You cannot stay married 52 years on excitement. You got to have faithfulness. You got to have commitment. And that's what you signed up for at the altar, till death do us part, in good things and bad things, in sickness and health, for richer or for poorer. I'm committed. And how many people, that doesn't last 1 year, because as soon as the goosebumps are gone and the excitement's gone and their heart doesn't pound anymore, they're looking for another new thrill. Come on, I'm talking to you. I'm talking about who is going to actually get committed enough to bear down and give birth to the things that God has put in your heart. Amen. Come on, I'm doing my best this afternoon to get something across to you. Today everybody's hopping from one thing to another. We're church hoppers and job hoppers and friend hoppers. And so what if you've got, you know, I don't know how many people are on our Facebook, and I don't care. I don't even want them to tell me. If I find out at the office, I find out accidentally. I mean, it's huge numbers. I don't care. How many friends do I really have? I don't know, maybe 3 or 4. You know, I mean, really, really true friends, you know. But I've got one friend that sticks close. That will never go away. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Now, Dave and I love each other. And I tell you the truth, I don't even know how many people really love each other when they get married. They're romantically attracted. But I don't think you even begin to know what love is until you start going through some stuff together. Amen. All right. If I'm going to even come close to getting finished, I got to move on here. So, got a scripture I want to read you. And then I got a few little ladies that'll come up here and help me. 1 John 3:9. No one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. So see, I like this. It's like nobody that's truly born again can live a sinful lifestyle. That doesn't mean you can't sin, because we all make mistakes and sin. But the person who really is a lover of Jesus, I mean, the minute you sin, you're convicted, and you are so quick to repent. So nobody born of God deliberately, knowingly, this is the Amplified Bible, deliberately, knowingly, habitually sins. Because, now I want you to get this, because God's nature abides in him. When you're born again, you get a new nature. God's nature, who God is, his character comes to live in you. Everybody say, I've got it. And I love the Amplified. This is getting right down to it. The divine sperm, Lord God, help me, remains permanently with him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born and begotten of God. Now, I don't know how we're going to get this scripture to fit together with some of the stuff we're seeing in the world today. From people that are calling themselves Christians and going to church every week. I'm not trying to be judgmental. Only God knows a person's heart. But we are expected to be different. We are expected to live a different life. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you're expecting to be a full-on, committed, fruit-bearing Christian, people are not all going to like you. You know why? Because your presence convicts them. Come on, listen to me. Just your presence convicts them. Now, if you compromise your morals to keep them comfortable, and that there's a lot of that going on today. You know, we want to make everybody feel comfortable, want to make everybody feel welcome, and, you know, God's just a God of love, and he just wants us to love everybody. Well, maybe you better go back and read some of the stuff that Jesus said to some people. Woe unto you, you vipers and snakes. I don't know what woe is, but I've already decided I don't want any of it because it sounds really bad to me. So when I read this scripture, and I'm just going to be plain, you know, when a man's sperm is planted in the womb of his wife, she becomes pregnant. And this says the divine sperm of Almighty God is in us. So everybody in here, even the few men that got in by special invitation, you're pregnant. And here's what it is. You're pregnant with God's nature. There's a seed. You know, Jesus is called the seed, capital S. Come on, I'm going to fly off of here. The seed, the sperm of Almighty God dwells in the womb of your spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside of your spirit. And everything in your spirit is holy. Now, the Holy Spirit comes committed to work with us for the rest of our life to help get what's in us out of us. So somebody can see it. Can I have my ladies come up, please? Somebody had the job of going around and finding pregnant women and saying, "How far along are you?" Okay, now they're just going to stand and they're going to stand sideways. Okay, I hope you can see them. Is the pulpit in the way? Because I don't want the pulpit to be in the way. Well, you'll get them on the screen. All right, now, when you're first born again, you got all this stuff happening on the inside of you. You're feeling things. You're feeling changes. You're feeling emotions. You know, you got, you know, it's like when a person gets a dream from God. It's like when God spoke to me and said, "You're going to go all over the world and teach my word." I mean, I was just like, wow. But when I started telling people, they laughed. They thought I was crazy. They didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. You know why? I wasn't showing yet. I knew I was pregnant. She's pregnant. How far along are you?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. You know you're pregnant, right? Are you already feeling any changes?
And Morning sickness.
Yeah, see, she's got some stuff going on. But I see her and I'm like, "You sure don't look pregnant to me." Well, see, that's what happens when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you and you know that you're now a new creature and you're trying to tell everybody else what's happened and they're like, "Well, you're not acting any different. You're no different. We're not showing yet." Well, see, there's a real problem if 9 months from now she's still not showing. Come on, stick. This is what's wrong with the church. Christians are 30, 40, and 50 years old, and they're still not showing. Come on. So, we're not expected to show after being born again a month. God works in us. In Philippians 2:12, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not in your own strength, but while God effectually is at work in you." So he's saying the good thing that's in you, work now with the Holy Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit, stay in the Word, water that seed with the Word, and you'll grow. Little by little, from glory to glory, you'll be changed into his image. Well, now, how far along are you?
6 weeks, third baby.
6 weeks, third baby. Well, you know, you're not showing much either. How about you?
7 months.
7 months. Wow, look at that. We got something going on here. Now, I can tell that you're pregnant. By the way, I bless these babies in the name of Jesus. They're going to be healthy and strong and whole and serve God and be a blessing to these mamas. How far along are you?
30 weeks.
30 weeks. How many weeks do you have left then?
10.
Hmm. I carried all my babies 10 months. 10 months. That's why what comes out of me is well done. Okay, now, we don't have any. I can tell she's pregnant. Everybody, how many of you can tell that she's pregnant? How about you? 36 weeks. Okay, now, do you feel pregnant?
Oh, yes.
Are you ready to deliver?
Yes.
You're ready.
Yes.
You'd be, any day be fine for you, right?
Yes.
Well, see, come on, get a hold of this. If you're pregnant with a dream, God has put something in your heart. I don't care if it's to get out of debt or to go to the world preaching the gospel. Whatever your dream is, it's important to you. And if it's important to you, it's important to God. So we're not just talking about people being in ministry. You got to be patient and you got to be faithful because Satan is the one who came up with the idea of abortion. And he is a dream thief. And he wants you to abort your dream. And if he can't get you to abort it, then he wants you to birth it early. Premature births don't always make it. And he wants you to do things out of God's timing and birth a bunch of sickly things that don't have any real life that you're really not ready to do yet. So you get out in the world and you say a bunch of things that you can't pull off and you make a fool out of yourself. And how many people do we see today that get in ministry way too fast? They can sing really great. So all of a sudden they're promoted because of their gift. And then they have some massive moral failure and become a shame to everybody in the body of Christ. And now all Christians are judged because all these people are phonies. Don't try to birth something before God's ready. Beg him not to give you any opportunity that's not an opportunity from him. Amen? So the longer you stick with it, come on, when I send you home, I don't want you to go home with some new vision for your life and have it last a week and then have you throw it away, abort it, because you found out it's going to take a little bit longer than you thought it would, be a little harder than you thought it would. Anybody? It's easy to go on a diet Sunday night after dinner. Anybody can do that. But what happens by Wednesday afternoon when you're hungry enough to eat everything on the table and then eat the table? That's when you got to be committed. It's easy to say, I want to get out of debt, but when you have to be really committed is when you're out shopping, which you shouldn't be. Don't ever shop for entertainment if you're trying to get out of debt. Only go when you have to buy something. You got to be committed when it's 75% off. And you're already not paying for what you got. Amen. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. You can clap and cheer and shout and yell in here. When I send you home, I want you to know the excitement's not going to last. The conference is going to be over. It's going to be the middle of the night, and you're going to wake up, and the devil is going to tell you some of the biggest lies you have ever heard in your life. And you're going to look at the teenagers that are driving you crazy and the husband that is driving you crazy and the bills that are driving you crazy. And that's when the devil's going to sneak in and try to get you to forget your dream. Amen. And I want you to remember me saying, stay committed. Stay faithful. Don't give up. Thank you, ladies. Oh, did I get to pray for all of you? I want all of you. Bless these babies in Jesus' name. Bless, 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 bless. You can name them after me. You know, there's a lot of different stages of pregnancy. There's all the crazy hormones. Come on. And some ladies, when their hormones go crazy, they get really crazy. And then you get to that stage that one girl was, and you just feel so fat. And you just feel like you're just gonna pop, and you're so uncomfortable. And that's the way some of you are, like you're pregnant with something from God. And you just think, if I don't get this out of me, if I, man, I was so pregnant with the desire to teach God's people. I remember getting on the floor and just begging God one night. I'd been on a fast. And I mean, the Spirit of God came on me, and I was just like, I pleaded with God for hours. God, please, you just gotta let me help more people, God. I gotta help more people. I gotta help more people. God puts that in you. And I felt like if I couldn't give birth to something other than preaching to 20 people in the basement floor, that I couldn't stand it anymore. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? But I stayed committed. There's a lot of different stages of pregnancy. There's transition. And that's one of the most painful times of pregnancy, by the way, when the baby's transitioning into the birth canal. Anybody in transition right now? I hope I haven't lost you. I guess if you're a man, you might be lost, but. Now, you know, today women get epidurals. But I'm gonna tell you something, there are no spiritual epidurals. No spiritual epidurals. If you want God to use you, he's gonna have to get you ready. Because you're not ready. You think you're ready, but you're not ready. Then I'm gonna tell you what, when you leave this place, you can expect, and I hate to even say this, I'm not trying to prophesy bad things, but I don't want you to be surprised. The devil is gonna come immediately and try to steal from you what you got here. Don't you let him do it. As soon as he shows up lying to you, say, no, you're a liar. God lives in me. His seed is in me. I am pregnant with everything that God is. He is changing me from glory to glory, and I am going to do something amazing with my life. Well, in order to give birth to your God-given dream, you have to remain faithful and committed. And it won't always be easy, but with God, all things are possible. What you watch today is just part of our 2018 Women's Conference. Today, we'd like to make available the rest of the teachings. The offer is Discover Your Adventure, 6 Teachings, and Enjoy Your Journey book. I think these teachings are going to really be a blessing to you. So don't go away, and I'll be right back to explain how God can use you to change a life.
Joyce wants to redefine the way you think of adventure.
I don't think there's any life that's more adventurous than just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Discover an exciting life with Jesus with this Live Your Own Adventure package. Order today and receive Joyce's book, Enjoy Your Journey, a guide to help you find peace and happiness every day of your life. The package also includes the Discover Your Adventure audio series. In 6 hours of teaching, you'll go on a transformative journey with Joyce and her special guests, Priscilla Shire, Lisa Harper, Sarah Jakes Roberts, and Natalie Grant. Learn how to courageously follow your heart and fulfill your God-given dreams. This offer is yours for a gift of $35 or more. Order online at joycemeyer.org or call us 1-800-727-9673.
Look sad and get downhearted, and then they look at you, make eye contact, and you smile, and they read that smile, and then they start smiling. and then the kids all run to you and they smile. When you really experience that, you're hooked.